You know, we spend a couple of months celebrating Christmas, it seems. It seems like next year they're probably going to start to October the 1st telling you about Black Friday sales. Retailers kind of call it pre-Christmas. So I think if we can spend that much time celebrating Christmas, we can spend the month of November celebrating Thanksgiving. I want to talk about thankfulness and Thanksgiving today. I'll tell you this story. I've told it before, but it bears repeating, and I'll tell it again. I used to work in the glorious institution of the American Shopping Mall once upon a time, not too long ago. And I always remember Halloween in the mall. They always have the kids come in. You always give them out candy. 2011, like I said, it wasn't that long ago. It was the last year I worked at Halloween. But about 2 in the afternoon, I took the company card and I went to Sam's Club and I bought 28 pounds of Halloween candy. We gave out every bit of it. 28 pounds. Actually, we probably ran up short there at the last 10 minutes of having all those kids. Those kids just kind of make laps around the mall like a NASCAR track, and they just come back for more and more and more. But what I always found remarkable at the mall is what happened after that. You know, after all that candy was safe and secure in bags and in little kids' tummies and everywhere else it went, you know, 9 o'clock had come, and I'd lock up the store, and I'd head out the door, but that big old scissor lift would come out, and they'd start hanging up Christmas wreaths and the little ball decorations, and they'd get to that big tree in center court. They start doing that when the mall closes on October 31st. They want you to come to the mall on November 1st, and just like they sing in the Charlie Brown part, Christmas time is here. I went to the mall last week. I don't go very often. I don't do too much shopping there, but sure enough, they had it all up going. I like Christmas. I'm not ragging on Christmas. Don't get me wrong. I just would hate to skip Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is just about getting together and sharing a meal and being thankful. I'll tell you another quick story. I'm not much of a hunter. I like to go fishing. I don't do it often enough, and I am just terrible at it. But it's a good excuse to get outside. But this year, I was determined that we were going to eat a turkey that I had procured. So I got the gear, I got the gun, and I got out and I stalked one, and I found the right place to be. I patiently waited, spotted him, aimed up, took the shot, and I got him. And consequently, I'm no longer allowed in the Greenwood Walmart. That's the only place I'll get my turkey. But let's start in Colossians chapter 3 this morning as we discuss thankfulness and thanksgiving. I'll start in verse 12. Feel free to follow along in your personal Bible if you'd like. I'll have our scriptures on the projector for you to read as well if you'd rather prefer that. Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. It says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Now, Thanksgiving, and I'll use this opportunity for a brief history lesson. Thanksgiving, as you may or may not be aware, predates our country from history's perspective. It started here on this continent around, they say, 1621. President Washington made a proclamation and created the first official day for it in 1789. Setting it as the last Thursday in November came about by President Lincoln in 1863. Since that point, we've kind of got around to it every year around the same time. Every president since Lincoln has actually issued a proclamation for Thanksgiving. We had another little habit they kind of started in November 19th of 1963, and that was the pardoning of the Thanksgiving turkey. Many turkeys that get pardoned by people in Washington. JFK didn't actually... That was a throwaway joke, I'm sorry. JFK actually didn't issue a pardon. He just mentioned that the folks had given the turkey. He said, "Well, I'm probably not going to eat the bird." Of course, if you're familiar with history, you'll note that JFK didn't make it to Thanksgiving. Reagan made the pardon official in 1987 with proclamation and such, and George H.W. Bush started a yearly tradition of it 2 years later in 1989. It's been done every year since. All of these things are just part of the formality of it, and there is a lot of formality of it, isn't there? We haven't always had these formalities. Some have come about very recently, but we've always had the spirit of Thanksgiving. It's been alive and well. It goes back to the beginning of man. I'm sure that Adam appreciated the beauty and the provisions of the Garden of Eden. What did Noah do when he left the ark? Well, of course, he made a sacrifice, built an altar and made a sacrifice to the Lord. Abraham was thankful for the sparing of Isaac and, of course, for God's many promises as well. Moses even commanded thankfulness. In 1 Chronicles 23 and verse 30, it says, "They were also to stand every morning to thank and to praise the Lord. They were to do the same in the evening." Think about something for a moment. Who are some of the happiest, most joyous, secure, contented, and fulfilled people that you know? Think about that. Who are those who seem to have it all together? Who are those that, regardless of the circumstances, always seem to have just a full and overflowing cup of life? Think about that, and then I want to ask another question in reference to that. Of those people you've pulled together in your mind, what do they all have in common? What's the common denominator that brings them together and unites them? I'm going to take a guess that they're all thankful people. Despite what is happening to them or what's happening around them, they are extremely thankful throughout all situations and all happenings of life. For example, someone comes up to you or someone comes up to me and asks, "How are things going?" or "How are you doing?" Where do we start? Do we start by conveying our gratitude? Do we start by counting our blessings? Do we start by being truly thankful? Or do we start by complaining, by griping, by feeling sorry for ourselves? Are we a people full of gratitude and thankfulness, or are we a people of thanklessness? It's pretty easy to tell day in and day out. It's one of those things that just shows on our faces. It determines how we face life and how we face difficulties. Our attitude is simply heard from the words that leave our lips. It's demonstrated in the way we live life on a daily basis. And as children of God, we must strive to rise above any current circumstance or situation. Our happiness, our joyous living, it's not dependent on that circumstance or that situation. Instead, it's dependent on our attitude. We're told in Proverbs 23 and verse 7, this comes from the King James Version, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." What we think is what we are. We can change a lot of things in this world, and maybe that'll make us happier. We can get a different car. We can get a different job. We can alter this habit. Stop doing this. Start doing this. We can make all those changes, but that's not guaranteed to change our attitude. What we have to change, what we must be sure to change, is our hearts. We must become people of thanksgiving. We have to be thankful for who we are, what we are, who we belong to, what we have, and where we are. Contentment, the act of being content, additionally, is not something we find, but it's rather something we learn. Paul covers this in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, beginning in verse 11. It says, "I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want." Notice what he says there. He says, in want or in plenty, content in any and every situation, whatever the circumstances. We've just got to make that decision. We've got to make the decision that we're going to become genuinely thankful people now. We can't wait until we think things are getting better. Our issues, our trials, our troubles, they're just not going to go away. Nothing is ever going to hit that perfect, everything in place plan that we're always looking for, we always seem to be looking for. 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning in verse 17, tells us to pray continually and to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Again, the fine print, in all circumstances. We do so because this is God's will for us. You know, God's a smart guy. God makes commandments. God sets His will for us for a good reason. Why should we be thankful? Why should we maintain this spirit of thanksgiving? There's a lot of reasons. The first one is that being thankful has that habit of refocusing our perspective. What happens when we grumble, or what happens when we complain? Typically, it means we're focused on what we don't have or what we can't do. If you agree with that, I think that's about right. I read a story. I'm not sure if this story is factual, but it makes a good point, so I'm going to share it with you. There was a man. He was the father of several children. He was living in a large city, and winter was coming. Kids needed new shoes. They'd worn theirs out, and unfortunately, the man was out of work. Next thing you know, the washing machine breaks as well. As they say, it never rains, but it pours. The man was able to arrange for shoes, but still, the washing machine was out of commission. He placed an ad in the paper looking for some help, and the ad got some good results. He went to pick up the washer, and he got into a conversation with the man and woman that were giving him this washer. He started talking about his children. He mentioned the trouble that he had in getting new shoes for them to wear. When he got to the point of new shoes, though, the woman didn't stay for the rest of the conversation. She got up and left the room, and it was clear that she was upset. The man inquired of the other man as to what was wrong, and the man of the house told him that they had but one child, and this child had unfortunately been paralyzed since birth, and the child had never needed a pair of shoes. The man returned home with the washing machine, but he didn't hook it up. He went back into the kid's room and pulled out those worn-out shoes, worn out from jumping rope, from kicking rocks, from playing in city streets. And he got down to his knees and he thanked God for worn-out shoes. Folks, thankfulness helps us with our perspective. Thankfulness helps us look at priority one. Thanksgiving also refreshes and softens our heart. We're told in Psalm 95 and verse 2 to come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. Verse 8 goes on to tell us not to harden our hearts. And that's exactly what the Israelites did, didn't they? God was providing food for His people. God was leading them towards the promised land. He was teaching them His ways, protecting them from their enemies, but they just weren't thankful. They hardened their hearts and they paid a price. The human body is a miraculous machine made by our miraculous Creator. Everything's in the right place. Everything performs its own function. But there's only room for one heart. And I don't say that physically. I don't think we need to double up on the heart. But there's only room for a hard heart or a thankful heart. We can't be full of gratitude and ingratitude at the same time. It's got to be one or the other. Thankfulness refreshes us. It reforms us. It reshapes us and it softens us. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Thankfulness softens our hearts so the Lord can mold us and shape us. But we've got to be open to that. We have to soften our hearts. Thanksgiving also reminds us of God's goodness. Typically, thanksgiving comes from counting our blessings. We read in Psalm 7 and verse 17 that I will give thanks to the Lord because of His righteousness. I will sing the praises of the name of the Lord Most High. We'll give thanks to the Lord because He is righteous, because He is good. And there's a lot of good reasons He's good. He's good because He loves us unconditionally. We do a lot of wrong things. We're rebellious. We can be uncaring. We can even be unloving. We sin. But despite all that, Christ died for us. Paul tells us rather in Romans 8 and verse 39 that neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It doesn't matter what we've done. It doesn't matter who we are or where we work or how we dress or where we live or what we drive. God loves us. Before we knew Him, He loves us. He still does. He loves us in spite of things we do towards others, in spite of our things we do towards Him, in spite of our sins. God's love for us is ever encompassing. He causes the rain to fall on both the just and the unjust. We must accept His love and we must be thankful for it because God is good. Being truly thankful just allows us to more clearly see that goodness. It's also good because, of course, He forgives our sins. We learn in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. In Colossians 1 and verse 13, it says, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins." If you're looking for a reason to live a life of gratitude, if you're looking for a reason to live a life of thankfulness, thanksgiving, and praise every day, right there is the reason. God is also good because he, of course, gives salvation to the obedient. We see in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 4, it says, "Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, this is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." The goodness of God can certainly best be seen in the fact that he has made salvation possible for those who will obey what he has taught. Thanksgiving also keeps us focused on God. It's incredibly easy in our culture, and we've talked about it before, to lose focus and to focus on other worldly things instead of focusing on God. It's easy to put the focus on what we want, what we desire, but the scriptures tell us differently. They tell us there's other places for that, don't they? It says in Psalm 24, right in the beginning, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." Paul asks a great question as well in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 7. He says there, "For what? Who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not?" It's just not about us. It's not about us at all. It's about God. It's in him that we live. It's in him that we move. It's in him that we have our being. We are not our own. We have been purchased with a price. The question just becomes, are we focused on God? Are we focused on how he wants us to live? Or are we focused on ourselves and how we want to live? Becoming people of thanksgiving keeps our focus where it belongs, and that's solely on God. So we see why we should be thankful. We've talked about that, but how do we break that cycle? How do we get out of the rut of ingratitude? How do we get out of the funk, so to speak? We need to make every day a day of thanksgiving. I'm not saying we should all take off work and eat a big meal and watch football every day. I would be thankful for that, but make it a daily attitude. Make it a condition of the heart. Make it the disposition you get yourself into, a behavior, more than just once a year. I mean, folks, we've got circumstances that aren't the most favorable, but those circumstances, they may never change. The ship we're looking for may never come in. Our pain may just not go away. But we can always change our attitude. Start every morning with telling the Lord about one thing that you're thankful for that day. Try it every day and see where it goes. Secondly, we must count our blessings. We start with one thing in the morning, as we've discussed. Build an inventory of everything you've thanked him for. James chapter 5 and verse 13 gives us easy instruction for this. It says, "Is anyone among you in trouble? Then let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise." Imagine starting every day with a song of praise. We've got a song about counting our blessings, don't we? Familiar with one we've sung a time or two. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. It may surprise you what the Lord has done. It works, folks. I can guarantee that it works. Maybe you're having trouble on where you start with counting your blessings. We'll start with this one. You're alive. You're here today. If you're having trouble counting your blessings, write them down, type them out, dictate them into a machine, get somebody to write them down for you, record them. I mean, there's a lot of ways you can do that, but verbalize them to God. Get a list going. Tell others. Spread to others how thankful you are. Thirdly, let's make God the object and make God the source of our thankfulness. Hebrews 12 and verse 28 says, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe." The world can do a lot of things to us. The world can take away our bank account, take away our job. It can take away our health, take our business, and take our families. But this world cannot take away our relationship with God. The early church didn't have a lot of the blessings we have today, but they were thankful for the relationship with God and Jesus. And think about this just as we get ready to close this morning. If God is the true object of our thanksgiving, then we truly are going to always be giving thanks. Every day will be like Thanksgiving. God's blessings never cease. They are new every morning. I said it before, Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. It still is. But it's just one that we can celebrate the spirit of all year round. We've got a lot to be thankful for here this morning. We're thankful to be here. We're thankful for God's teachings. We're thankful for a warm place to worship the Lord. And we're thankful that He sent His Son to die for our sins. We're going to offer this invitation here this morning. If you're not a Christian, God is, of course, calling you today. Be thankful for this gift. Truly thankful for the gift He has given you. Accept it. Upon confession of your faith, of course, we'll baptize you for remissions of your sin this morning. If you're in need of prayer, if there's any way at all we can help, please come while we stand and while we sit.